morning. Welcome to Trust the Bible, growing your confidence that the Bible is true and the ultimate resource for life. I'm Pastor David Gennaro, and I'm picking up this week where I left off last week. We're talking about how do we know that God exists? Now, this is part of kind of a larger series. I'm talking about my book, Prosperous and Successful, and the key points to take here is that the Bible promises to be the pathway to prosperity and success, but it also calls for a high commitment. It says, keep this book of the law always on your lips, meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it, then you will be prosperous and successful. So in other words, if you really commit yourself to the Bible, there is a promise of success in life, and there's nothing more that you could want than to be ultimately successful in life. That's the definition of the greatest thing that you could actually want. So in order to commit yourself to that, you should want to know why I can trust the Bible. I don't think anyone can really trust the Bible, really live it out in their whole life and seek to apply it unless they really have a good foundation of here's how I know that it is true and it is the ultimate resource for life. So part of that is to know that there is a God, because obviously that is kind of the assumption behind every other argument for the truth of the Bible. So we've looked at a number of things last week. I'm not going to go through all of the arguments for God, but I do think it is a critical step in seeing that we can believe that Jesus really is God, that he really rose from the dead like he said, that we can really trust him when he says that the Bible is the Word of God and that it is the ultimate guide that we need to be following. That is our fundamental argument for trusting the Bible. So we've looked at things like the origin of life. We could get all into evolution, but I just think the key question is, how did the first life get here? And I'm continuing to see news stories, even this week, you'll see these periodically, of someone saying, oh, scientists have a new theory on how life originated. And whenever you see a news story like that, it's further confirmation that scientists still to this day have no idea how life could have originated without God. They come up with new ideas of how they think it might happen, assuming that there is no God. That's kind of how science operates. You know, assuming that God wasn't involved in the process of life, what's the best guess we have as to how it could happen? And so they've come up with a whole collection of guesses, but the reason why they keep coming up with more and more guesses is because none of them seem to really be a good option as to something that you could actually envision happening or being a way life. We have no idea how life could have originated without God. None. And so that is one of the best arguments from science for the existence of God. We've looked at morality. You know, I told you, I believe there is a real right and wrong. There are some things that are wrong. And in a universe with no God, with no design, with no purpose, if God didn't have an intention and chose to create this universe for some reason, there couldn't be any real right and wrong. It would all just be a matter of our opinions and preferences. And so that deep sense in us that there are some things that are wrong can only be explained really by there being a God who placed it there, who loves us, who has a purpose for us. So this is an example of one of many reasons. We went through more last week. I could go through many more. But I'm not proving God's existence to you. I'm simply saying that there's no other reasonable way of making sense of why the world is the way it is. And to prove anything absolutely is really impossible. To prove in the sense of there's no other possible explanation anyone could come up with. That doesn't work for anything. But the way we live our lives is there are certain things we accept and know are true because there's just no other reasonable explanation or alternative view to accept. And so God is like that. It would be crazy. It would be just a wild leap in the dark to think that somehow the world is the way it is without a God who purposefully designed this world with purpose, who loves us, who has a plan and purpose for us, as the Bible describes. Now, I said we would look specifically into one of the objections. Atheists will say, well, what about pain and evil in the world? And the argument here is basically if God is good and all-powerful, he can do anything, and he's good, then there wouldn't be evil and suffering in the world. And yet we all know that there is evil and suffering in the world. Therefore, God either isn't really a good God, he doesn't care about us, or he's not able to stop it. And any of those scenarios, God couldn't be either real, or he couldn't be like the God described in the Bible at the very least. So this is an observation of the world where we say, just like the other ones I shared with you that show that there is a God, this observation says, hey, if God is real, the God of the Bible is real, then we wouldn't see pain and suffering. And yet I do see pain and suffering. And so that doesn't match with, doesn't seem reasonable to believe there's a God given that information. All right, so I want to specifically address that and break that down because I think there are some fundamental problems with that kind of approach. It assumes that a good God could not have any legitimate reason for allowing pain and suffering. And that is an assumption that is, it needs to be backed up with some further arguments. In fact, the Bible itself spends so much attention explaining just the opposite, explaining that there could be good reasons for God to allow pain and suffering. Even though he could stop it, it would not be beneficial for him to stop it. You know, one of the ways God could have stopped pain and evil in the world is to just never create Adam and Eve. He knew that they were going to rebel against him. He knew that they were going to bring sin into the world by their own evil choice. And he could have either decided to never create them, and thus eliminating pain and suffering in the world, or he could have chosen to not give them free will, but then they wouldn't really be human beings. You know, he could have made some kind of robot, but they wouldn't be real people with the ability to choose and decide things. So God, knowing what they would do, chose to create them, knowing all the evil and pain that would come as a result, but ultimately knowing that he's going to redeem them and save them and bring evil and suffering to an end. Why does he allow evil and suffering to go on for the in the meantime? Well, there could be all kinds of reasons for that. The Bible says all things will work together for the good to those who love God. God could step in at any time, as he has in the past. He stepped in with a flood, destroying the whole world, except for eight people, which brought a dramatic curbing of evil and suffering in the world. There was kind of a redo, if you will, allowing humans to kind of restart. He cleansed the world. He could intervene like that, but he's patient with us. He gives us opportunity to repent. He wants us to freely choose him rather than to have to keep coming in judgment like that. There will be another judgment to come. But what I'm saying is the Bible is really a story all about how God is winning us to an eternal life free from pain and suffering through Jesus Christ, and there is a good purpose for his timing and for the pain and evil that he allows. He doesn't want to force us to be robots. He doesn't want to intervene in judgment immediately when we sin, or, you know, prevent us in some way from ever having the option to sin. Furthermore, God is familiar with our pain and suffering. God came here as a man, born as a baby, lived out a life in oppression and judgment. He was convicted unfairly. He was beaten. He was crucified. He was rejected by the very people he came to love and serve. He's familiar with every kind of pain you and I know. And he came and he did it for us to defeat sin, to defeat evil and suffering. If you're an atheist, you have no answer. You can say, yes, there is pain and suffering, and that's just how it is. And really, if there is no God, there really shouldn't be such a thing as pain and suffering. We just feel pain and suffering, and it's just a random thing. It just happens to be. But pain and suffering and true evil can't really exist apart from intelligent beings who can only be created by God. So I'll touch up more on that tomorrow. Until next time, remember, you can trust the Bible.